Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the show. Before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Tego. Tego is premium gear for the modern everyday athlete. They create products using emerging materials and textiles technology that feel good when you are at your sweatiest best. So whether it's a grueling workout or a long-ass flight, check out Tego. You can find out more at www.tego.fit/tpow. That's tego.fit/tpow. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. I'm your host, Kabir Uppal. I'm a fitness enthusiast myself, and by chatting with guests which are enthusiasts and experts, I hope to learn a lot. And hopefully you will too. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we chat with guests and our listeners and discuss their journeys. You can also give us feedback there about the episodes that you listen to and what you would look more forward to as well. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at TPOW Podcast. This is a Mancha Media production. You can also check out our website, manchamedia.com. In this episode, we're chatting with Krimilya Mehta, aka Mimi, who is the proprietor and coach at the Combat Academy in Dimapur, Nagaland. He's also a team member at X1 International, which is an organization that puts together events with amateur athletes. In this episode, he's telling us a little bit about how the MMA space has grown in India and how you, the fitness enthusiast, can use MMA in your daily routine. Let's jump right in, guys. Hey, Mimi. Welcome to the show, man.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining us on The Pursuit of Wellness. So we've given our guests a little bit of an intro about you already, but it'd be great if you can, kind of break it down in your own words for them as well.
So I'm the head coach at the Combat Academy. That's all the way in Nagaland, Dimapur. I coach a bunch of idiots who are learning how to fight inside the cage, basically.
That's awesome. I hope they're pretty good at what they're doing.
I would tend to say they are very good.
Excellent, excellent. So, you know, since we're talking about your students and, what you're doing at the Combat Academy, why don't you tell us a little bit about, where you started the training journey for yourself and how you got into coaching? And then we can jump into learning a little bit more about, what you're training for at the Combat Academy.
So actually, when I was in Mumbai, I was doing my college there. I was in Xavier's. So there was this gym, Evolution, back then. Martial arts was something I always wanted to do. Like as a kid, Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee, those were the bombs. So always wanted to learn how to kick ass. So I started training at Evolution, and then through the camaraderie of the people there, that stuck with me. And actually, during one of my training over there, I broke my foot. So then I came back home to Nagaland to recover. And then while I was there for 3 months, I started just messing around with some of the boys around the locality. And something I realized that they are amazing athletes. Like the things they were picking up, like they're just picking things up super easily. So then I spoke to my coaches back in Mumbai and also Singapore. And they were very keen, they were very interested. So they came down to Nagaland. They had a seminar in our gym now that now is the gym. The Combat Academy, back then it wasn't. It was just empty space. They had a seminar back there. They had seminars in a few schools. And they were also outstanding by the level of talent that was there in Nagaland. So one thing led to another. I want to do something more concrete back home because I feel the talent there is epic. And if I don't try to do something with that talent, I am failing miserably. So that's how the Combat Academy came about. Like just a place for like-minded people to just chill and have fun.
Awesome. And you got your experience of training and coaching in Bombay and Singapore?
Yes, Mumbai and Singapore.
Awesome. Great, great. So let's talk a little bit about, there's a bunch of these kids that you're training that are amazing athletes, in keeping them in mind and other people in mind in general, how does the training process within the gym or within at least the Combat Academy, how does that enhance your life beyond the gym as well?
Well, number one, you look awesome. You're ripped.
That's definitely high up there, yeah, in the number of benefits. Yeah.
Off late, in the last year, we've had a bunch of kids joining. I won't say kids, adults, they're in college. But after the first year, the second year of them being with us, we can see a definite change in character. They are a lot more confident. And I think that's something that you can take away from the mats into real life. You're pretty confident about yourself. Fitness is not easy. I think it's self-torture. You're torturing yourself to be fit. And in any form of fitness, it can be CrossFit, it can be running, you're torturing yourself to get better. And I think that helps their barriers that you keep breaking, and that increases your confidence. Like, today I can do 5 push-ups. Tomorrow I do 10. It's a very small thing, but that's increasing confidence. That's you telling yourself, okay, I could not do it. Today I can do it. I think that's Kaizen. Like the Japanese term of ever-improvement, Kaizen. Simple as that. People in the gym training, they're always improving.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned Kaizen, because it's all about kind of improving life through discipline, through routine, through small improvements, right? And I'm glad that you mentioned that entire thing about breaking the barriers, that you kind of set for yourself. So how does that improvement in discipline, and besides confident also, do you feel like a lot of the kids that, or the young adults that you're training with outside the gym also, they're leading better lives in general?
Definitely. With the two I know of, it's their final year in college right now, and they are heading like their student groups, their student unions, Nitsu and Din. Like, they are amazing young adults. And also, like, a very smart thing they did, they started competing this year. It's something they've been with us for the last 2 years, and it's something they said from the start, like, we want to compete, but right now we can't give the attention that competition requires. So they have been coming, like, they've been just being members, I think it's a very mature decision they made, that, okay, no, right now my education is priority. Once that is over, we can talk about competing in mixed martial arts. And I like this is something that, again, the confidence they have built in the last 2 years shows that they can make that stand. They can tell their parents, they can tell me, they can tell the other people in the gym, like, no, not right now. Right now, I know I need to study. I want to study. Once I finish studying, maybe I'll give this a shot. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Respect for them to make these adult decisions to prioritize, getting that degree first and then putting all their focus on training in the gym with you to compete. So yeah, before we kind of got into the recording of this episode, we were talking about how martial arts has become quite a popular form of training for, people who are enthusiasts as well. Can you give us some thoughts on that, on the increase of interest in martial arts as a way to get fit?
Martial arts is fun. And also it's a life tool. It's self-defense. Fitness can get a little monotonous. For instance, me going to the gym every alternate day or every morning, me sitting on that treadmill, me standing on the treadmill, me sitting on that cycle, it gets a little monotonous. I feel mixed martial arts can be a wonderful difference. Like, suddenly I work out 5 days a week, maybe 2 days I'll do something different. I'll do mixed martial arts. I'll punch a few bags. I'll roll on the floor. It's different. It's still fitness, but it's a different avenue to that goal of fitness. That's how I think martial arts, and also like today, the way athletes are joining mixed martial athletes are joining mainstream media. Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, Daniel Cormier, these are slowly becoming household names. And through them is also making mixed martial arts as a form of training get more famous.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's a great point about it kind of being ingrained in media as well now, right? It's kind of uplifting the movement. It's introducing it into daily life culture as well. And, what are your thoughts on, before we were talking about Cross Train, we were talking about a few other studios that you have mad respect for. What are your thoughts on group training in mixed martial arts versus personalized training? Because I know a lot of people, who have the time and the money also take on personalized mixed martial arts training, not for the purpose of becoming a serious pro, but actually, as we discussed, getting ripped and being healthy and fit in general.
There's nothing like group. I think group trainings are the best. The environment, the energy, the atmosphere, because we are all, in a very small way, everyone's competitive. If I see someone doing 5 push-ups, I'm like, that I can also try to do.
Yeah,
if you
absolutely
can do it, I'm going to try doing it. So that way, these bars are set and you try to meet those bars. But again, private training is important, because when you go down to learning, like if I'm trying to learn particular things, small details, that's something that can be taught in privates. But when I'm going as a fitness buff, trying to get fit, then yes, group sessions are much better.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, much better.
So all these people that, there's enough people that we see on Instagram and on Facebook talking about how they're taking personal training of, with mixed martial arts experts, with trainers. Do you think that that's really not adding a much more, is there a significant amount of value on top of just group fitness for that one-on-one session? Or do you think people should just stick to the group workouts and get maximum impact out of those?
Depends on the goal. If the goal is to get super fit, then stick to group sessions. If the goal is to become a better martial artist, where I need to learn specific details about techniques, then privates is the thing. Because that one-on-one, the coach can look at tiny details. But then if I'm looking at a class of 20 people, it will take me way too long to go into detail for all 20.
Yeah, that's an excellent one, man. I think it's super important, just as you mentioned there, to have a goal in your mind. If it's something that you want to improve as an artist, then, you know, doing the training makes sense. So as a coach, you know, as somebody that has, one, trained yourself so hard for them, for the amount of years that you've kind of been in this, and now that you have so many athletes training under you, what is the weightage of importance that you put on diet? Is that something that you're advising your athletes on? And is that something you are pushing them to manage themselves? Or is it something that is a part of your training routine as well?
Definitely. Diet is something, for instance, one of the most senior most fighters in the gym, Im Kong, him and me, we handle the diets. It's not my forte. To be honest, I'm not good at this. I haven't done a degree on this. If you look at me, I'm tiny. I don't need to diet. But I also understand the importance of it. It's very, very important. I'm not going to comment much on this because it's not something I specialize in. I could be saying something I think it might be right, but someone listening would probably be like, no, that's crap.
No, I think, and that's fine. You know, it's fair warning that, you know, you're coming from a place of your experience, right? Of what's worked for you and what's working for your athlete. So, you know, for anybody listening, this is not necessarily advice that you, that might work for you. But currently, you know, tell us a little bit. For example, you took a bunch of athletes to Bahrain right now. In that 6-week program that you trained with those athletes that you were taking to Bahrain to compete, what was their diet like? Like, was it, you know, heavy on carbs because they're training a lot, because they need that energy? Was it light on carbs so that they could make sure that, you know, they're hitting the weight that they need to?
It was super light on carbs. Like, it was literally like the last 2 weeks we completely removed carbs because the athlete in question, he walks around at 68 69. We had to bring him down to 65.8.
oh wow.
Yeah, and in a matter of 2 weeks. So yeah, we cut the line a little too thin. So I would not suggest removing carbs completely. I think lunch should have carbs. That's lunch. For instance, we back home, we train in the evening around 5. So the meal before that, carbs gives you quick energy.
Yeah, you need to have that.
Yeah, so I would say lunch, you have your carbs. Of course, at night, zero. Like, I would remove, like, this is humongously bad habit for most people in India, is having rice at night.
Yeah, and it's also difficult for the body to then break it down and actually...
Because you're sleeping, you're doing nothing at night.
Yeah, what do you need the energy for? Moving on to, you know, a little bit more about the exercise bit of the training that you do. You know, this is kind of a two-pronged question. One is for obviously our enthusiasts that are listening, and two is also get some insight from you about how you're kind of training some of these people that you're working with, right? What is the importance of other forms of exercise when it comes to mixed martial arts training that you're doing at Combat Academy, and what you would, you know, recommend to anybody that is asking you a question in general? So stuff like, you know, either functional fitness or yoga, stretching, meditation, are any of these other things currently implemented in your training routine? And, you know, what is the weightage you put on these?
Functional training, yes. If like we mentioned before, we have a training camp of 6 weeks. We are doing functional every day, every morning. Like, evening would be technique. Morning is just pure fitness. So strength and conditioning, where we're trying. But we are not really doing weights. Weights is something you would be doing off-season. Like, if I'm training normally, like a normal thing, then I would be doing weights. Because weights also tend to bulk you up a little bit. So I'm doing weights, like hard weights. I'm not just doing reps. I'm doing
heavy. Yeah.
But then when I'm getting into my camp, I start cutting down weightlifting and completely switch to cardio and functional training, like hardcore on those two terms.
So could you describe like a functional workout that you have with one of your athletes in the morning?
Tabata.
Yeah.
Hit.
Tabata, yeah. Yeah, nice.
Something I love right now is the beep test.
Oh, nice.
We do every Monday morning is the beep test. So the idea being is something that you can tangibly, you can put, okay, I got this much.
Yeah.
Next week, well, how much more am I getting?
Yeah, you're competing against yourself.
Against yourself, yeah. And I think that's how it should be. Like, when we're training at the gym, you're not competing with the person you're going to fight. You're competing with you yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you whoop that person's ass? Can you whoop you yesterday? That's the question. We also make sure it's on Monday because Sunday is the rest day.
Yeah.
We let the body recover, and then on Monday we test the beep test.
So that also kind of then tests the improvement that's been made throughout the week before the Sunday rest day that you've already had. Interesting. And, you know, what, if any, is the importance of yoga and meditation, being able to keep calm and kind of, you know, one with your thoughts and focused on the kind of goal that you have of, you know, I've spoken to other people who are boxers who are, may not be necessarily MMA athletes, but that are also, you know, kind of competing at some level, either at a sport, but have described meditation being a very important part of keeping focus and being able to kind of stay on the path of, you know, beating their opponent.
It's something very personal, I guess. I do not think everyone requires yoga. I do not think everyone requires meditation. Some people are just mentally strong.
Yeah.
And for them, it's not necessary to put out 2 hours or 1 hour a day to meditate. But of course, for others, they might require it. I think it's awesome. I've tried yoga.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I fall asleep.
it's a bit slow for you,
it's
huh?
A little slow for me. But I think it's awesome. The days I was having a bad day, it was perfect. But again, it's personal. I don't think like all my athletes require it. Of course, a few of them do. The younger ones also, they require it. The elder ones, they're mentally more stable. It's not necessary for them.
All right, man. So another aspect of, you know, one, your personal journey and other people's journeys that I wanted to kind of touch upon is you mentioned that, you know, you had an injury that took you back home to Nagaland, where you started then thinking about the athletes around you and kind of setting this up. How did you deal with your injury, and how do you deal with injury in, I'm sure that, is it a big part of the training? Is that something that comes up a lot with some of your athletes, and, you know, how do you kind of help them with the recovery process?
I think with any form of fitness, will I get injured is not the question, especially when it comes to martial arts. And if you're competing professionally, it's a question of when will I? There's no will. It's definitely going to happen. It's important you get professional advice. You get x-rays, CT scans, whatever's required. And let medical professionals take charge of that. Yeah. And if they say 2 weeks, 3 weeks, no contact, my job as a coach is to make sure you do nothing for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. So is that something that is an essential part of the Combat Academy too? Is there doctors, specific doctors and specific medical professionals that you're working with?
With orthopedics, yeah. With an orthopedic. Because actually that's the most common injury, where like dislocations, not breaks, dislocations is the most common.
Awesome. So jumping a little bit into, you know, talking about advice that you would give, you know, anybody that is pursuing fitness as an enthusiast from an MMA perspective, or somebody that wants to just get involved in the MMA space as a passion, you know, what do you think would be a good way for them to get started?
Visit the closest gym. Visit the closest legitimate gym. There aren't that many legitimate gyms around. And one of the simplest way to figure out whether they're legitimate or not is their track record. Do they have athletes that are representing them? And if they do, what is the track record of those athletes? For instance, I'm a coach.
Yeah.
I am not an athlete. I might be the most amazing fighter. But as a coach, that's not my credentials. My credentials as a coach are the ones I'm coaching. So look into that. See who are the athletes from a gym, see what their track record is, and accordingly you will automatically know whether they're legitimate or not.
Great. And anybody that is kind of pursuing MMA as a passion, is there, you know, besides, is there any online resource that you expect, you know, that you would recommend them reading first about MMA in general before they, you know, kind of take that leap and you know, find that legitimate gym around them to start training?
Just jump, man.
Yeah, best ways to take a
just
leap.
Jump, yeah. there's so much materials online. For a beginner, I do not know if there's anything I could suggest. There's tons. Like, even podcasts, there's Jack Slack, who is amazing. There's Joe Rogan. These are things that...
Yeah, Joe Rogan's one of our favorites, too. Yeah. I mean,
these are materials
so
you can just
there,
listen.
Yeah? Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about you know, your journey as a professional in the MMA space, and, you know, as a coach. You know, tell us a little bit about you know, the academy. How did you and the team work together to kind of set it up? You know, what are some of the, you know, problems you think you faced, and, you know, where do you see the academy going? What is the organization's plan for the future in general?
I'm not a black belt with 30 years of experience. None of my guys are black belts with 30 years of experience. We're just a bunch of guys that love what we do, that are working towards it. We do make mistakes, but we're learning from it. It's a group effort. That's also, I feel, a lot of things we do with training right now is something we have come up with. It's something we have tried, it didn't work out, we have changed it. Okay, now this works out. That trial and error phase has been there for us from the start. Where do we see ourselves? I am not, professionally or comparatively, I'm not keen on being the best in Nagaland. I'm not keen about being the best in Northeast. I'm not keen about being the best in India. I think you have to aim much higher. You have to be among the best in the world. And I think as athletes, that should be your goal, to be in the UFC, to fight in that. Not to be the best in Asia, not to be the best in India, but to be among the best in the world. Albeit it's very difficult to be the best in the world, but that should be your aim professionally. Yeah.
No, man, I love that. I love the energy there. I love that you're shooting right for the top. And is that something that you're putting into the mindset of the people that you work with, some of the athletes as well? Awesome. Awesome. And are some of these athletes also preparing themselves to, are they also huge UFC fans? Are they following all the championships? Are they following all of their players very carefully to see, you know, how they made it as well?
We do. And that's one of the simplest ways you can gauge yourself against them. Okay. I wouldn't say, you don't compare yourself to John Jones today.
Yeah.
Compare yourself to John Jones 5 years back. Compare yourself to John Jones 6 years back. Because if you're talking about experience, of course, they have so much more experience in the industry. But 6 years back, they didn't have that much experience in the industry. And that's who you should be.
Yeah.
You should be gauging yourself against. Not John Jones today, not the champion. Everyone didn't walk into the gym a champion. They walked in a newcomer and then they became a champion.
Yeah, it's important to remember that anytime you see people lifting up belts and championships, it took them a shit ton of effort to get there, you know, and that's never covered. You don't see that in all the great pictures and videos and them jumping up and down with champion balls, right? It took them a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and, you know, injuries as well, a lot of recovery to get to where they're at. So that's a great point, man. I'm so glad that you mentioned that it's very important to know what the hustle it takes to get there. So yeah, talking a little bit about now, you know, MMA in India. You know, I love that you said that, you know, the goal isn't to think about Nagaland. It's not to think about Northeast. It's not to think about India. It's to think about top of the world. It's to think about the UFC, getting your athletes in there and representing themselves on the extremely, you know, top level. But, you know, you had mentioned before that the goal is to kind of get them to a place where they're competing slowly and moving up, right? So tell us a little bit about, you know, your thoughts of MMA in India in general, you know, about the format, about the competitions, where the infrastructure is. You know, obviously, we've spoken a little bit before the episode and in the episode about finding legitimate training facilities, finding legitimate gyms. You know, what is that infrastructure level like at right now, according to you? And where do you see, what are the things that you see changing in the space in general?
This huge talent in India. I've been seeing it from day one. You come across a lot of potential people. The only hassle in India right now is there is no amateur platform. When you talk about cricket, you have to play in the Ranji Trophy before you enter the national team. There has to be that definite hierarchy where an athlete can start going up, 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 where you need to test yourself at a lower rung and slowly make your way up. A lot of the companies that are coming into India at the moment, they are throwing in crores of money into it. There is a lot of money in it. They're pumping in money. But your talent is not up to that level. If I am a mixed martial arts promotion, if I'm the UFC at the end of the day, I am selling fights. That's it. I am not selling anything else. I'm just selling fights. If my athletes are not at the level to have good fights, I'm failing as a promotion. A promotion needs to just sell fights, nothing else. The story making and all can come in later.
Much later.
Once you have a star, how do you create a star? You create a star out of talent. If the star is Sachin Tendulkar, why is he such a star? Not because of the media creating stories behind him. Because he has super talent.
He's got numbers.
He's got numbers,
prove it,
yeah. You need that talent. And I feel in India, the potential is there. But it's not yet reached that level where you can pump in crores of money and expect that kind of return.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it's almost wasted. And it's also, you know, I'd love to hear if you would agree to this also. It's almost also unfair to the young athletes, right? They need to have the proper progression. They need to experience it at every level so that they have the proper training, the proper experience, and a great shot at actually fighting at the topmost level.
With running, with being coach of the Combat Academy, there's some people that want to have a quick fix. They'll train for like 1-2 months and be like, coach, I want to fight. I would say, how many years of schooling do you go before you go to college? How many years of college do you do before you do your master's? How many years do you have to study before you get a bloody job? It's the exact same thing with martial arts. You need to put the hours in. You need to put the years in. And eventually then make it a profession. It's not a hobby. A hobby is something I do when I want to do. A profession is something I have to do even if I don't want to do it. If it means waking up at 7 in the morning, going to the gym and running around, if it's my profession, I better do it.
Yeah.
If it's a hobby, I don't want to do it, man. I'll sleep at home. I won't go.
Yeah. No, it requires some serious dedication. One is from the athlete, but also from people that are in the business or people that are in the ecosystem, right? Coaches, you know, doctors.
Support systems,
absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the support system that exists right now. You know, I know you had mentioned before the episode also that, you know, you're doing some stuff. You have some people that you're working with that are doing some stuff in this space. So give us a little snapshot of where the ecosystem is right now in terms of the support system and how you think that should grow and where that's going.
It is growing. Like 3 years back, you tell someone mixed martial arts, no one would know it. Everyone knows UFC. Everyone would be like, oh, that's cage fighting. That's brutal. But today, like I said, with Conor McGregor hitting mainstream media, people know about mixed martial arts. So it is growing. Knowledge is growing. Doctors, like small things. Like I would go to a doctor. A doctor would look at you and be like, oh, like you just fight, like how you fought in the street.
Yeah.
They wouldn't understand, okay, no, I do mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
Funny thing, 2-3 years back, the same orthopedic we're working with, we had to tell him, we box.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't know what mixed martial arts. So I was just like, you know, we're just boxing. So this happened. So now, but today people know mixed martial arts. People know what to expect. The doctors especially, they know what to expect out of these injuries. Because with X1 International, which is a company I'm working with at the moment, we tie up with hospitals to look after first aid and immediate care for the fighters.
Yeah.
And slowly and steadily, I'm noticing like doctors know what's outcome. They're coming in saying, okay, I've come prepared for dislocations, blunt force trauma. They're coming prepared for stuff like that. Before, they didn't know. They would just send a doctor and be like, ye kya hai, ye kya ho raha hai. So it is growing. Knowledge, the ecosystem is growing. It's not yet there, but it is growing. Like for mixed martial artists all the way in America, they have crazy support systems in the term like sponsorships, nutrition, management. That ecosystem has not yet hit India. India right now is all, the ecosystem is based on coaches. A good athlete should have technical coach, a coach who goes after technique, a fitness coach, a strength and endurance coach, a manager. An athlete should have all these people working for them.
Yeah, so they can focus on the training and the fighting.
Yeah, and also like right now, for instance, it's my job to look after technique, strength and conditioning, nutrition. But like I said before, nutrition is not my forte.
Yeah.
I think each athlete should have a nutritional coach who's handling that aspect of his professional life, strength and conditioning, technique, management, sponsorship, etc., etc. Yeah.
All right, Mimi, we're just towards the end of you know, all the great stuff that we wanted to talk to you about. I just wanted to get you know, your thoughts on, obviously, you know, what we wrapped up with was the ecosystem bit, right? And you'd mentioned that, you know, we need coaches, we need support staff that is, you know, doing all these things around the industry and around the players and the athletes. Tell us a little bit about X1 International and what you guys have planned there and how you see that kind of enabling the ecosystem and then growing it for the sake of the athletes and also for the sake of the interest of people like, you know, us watching and watching you guys grow.
X1 International is an initiative that started by a friend of mine, Ajit. It's primarily at this point in time an amateur platform where amateur athletes can come and compete. We're just shifting into getting them title belts. So the better ones will be fighting for belts. The idea behind X1 again is to create a homogeneous environment where people are growing from the grassroots level. Guys that have never competed before want to try giving professional mixed martial arts a shot. Let them compete under more controlled environments where the rules are a little more safer, as in we don't have elbows or knees allowed for amateur athletes. The rounds are shorter, so the rule set is a little more forgiving. Seeing how well they do in that, slowly move them up to professional competition where X1 will start giving them a purse, start paying them to compete, will start matching them up against good athletes from the region, not necessarily India. Southeast Asia is also in the same boat at the moment. They're also a growing industry in mixed martial arts. That's a perfect place for Indian athletes to compete against. When you talk about the West, America, Europe, etc., they've been doing this much longer. Russia, in fact, doing this much longer. So to compete, to have our athletes go up against them, it's setting them up for failure at this juncture. So against X1, we'll try getting them competition against Southeast Asia internationals. And also, their resume increases. If I am a working professional, I go to a company that says, okay, give me a job. The company is going to say, what's your resume? Why should I hire you? Expo International comes into that perspective where athletes can go to bigger companies tomorrow. There's amateur athletes can go up to them and say, okay, no, I'm so-and-so. I'm the champion at so-and-so weight. These are my fights. These are my credentials.
So it's almost kind of building a track record and giving them an opportunity to do that without, you know, kind of jumping into the lion's den. It's yes. almost like giving them a fair chance to kind of build their record up and also build their experience up, right? Awesome. So tell us a little bit about where you've already had these, you know, events and where some of our listeners, if they're in those cities, they can come and witness it. You know, obviously we'd love to check it out. So when it's coming to some of the cities of our listeners.
Immediately now it's going to be in Chennai. That's on the 8th of December. In fact, we're going to have 3 title belts for that card. Before Chennai, we have done Kohima, Nagaland, Shillong. We also did one in Pune. So it is growing. We have card setups in most parts of India. So if December 8th, anyone from Chennai, please come down for a wonderful evening. I'm sure the athletes would love to hear your voice cheering for them.
Awesome. And, you know, just before we kind of wrap this up, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, where all of our listeners can find out more about X1 International, more about the Combat Academy, and, you know, anybody that's interested in getting involved in the space or involved with, you know, all the great things that you're doing for the sport and for the athletes, you know, how they can get in touch with you. And if anybody has obviously some follow-up questions and wants to pick your brain, what is the best route to kind of get in touch with you?
For X1, there is a website, x-1.in. X1 International is also on social media, Instagram, Facebook, with the same handle. Personally, for me, Facebook, Instagram, TCA Nagaland, or Krimilia Mehta. That's my full name.
All right. And all of those links to all of those pages and handles will be available in our show notes, along with a description about, you know, all the great things that Mimi is involved in. Mimi, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate you coming down onto the Pursuit of Wellness and sharing your journey and the journey of all your great athletes on our show.
Thank you for having me. I love hearing my own voice. This just made it better.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you, man. Cheers. All right, guys, that was this week's episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. You can find us on iTunes, CastBox, Savan, or wherever you catch your podcasts on. We're on Facebook as The Pursuit of Wellness and Twitter and Instagram as T-Power Podcast. You can find out more about us on munchamedia.com. This has been a Muncha Media production. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more episodes next week.